This is Fair Issues on the Mormon Faircast. This week's article is entitled, Keeping the Faith, a Co-Creative View of the Book of Mormon Translation. Some of those who accept the loose translation theory for the Book of Mormon also believe Joseph Smith may have included, to various degrees, elements that conveyed the intent of the text, but with words that may not have actually been on the plates. LDS scholar Blake Alster, for instance, believes in what he calls the co-creative view of Revelation, as he recently wrote on the newly launched website, MormonScholarsTestify.com. I know from my own experience that I've had impressions, revelations, and insights that spoke in my mind and that I could formulate in many different ways, Alster said. In fact, the fullness of the knowledge could almost never be expressed adequately, and as I grew in capacity, I was better able to express even what I had learned in earlier revelations. I figured it was the same for Joseph and the translation of the Book of Mormon. This co-creative view of Revelation explains why Joseph updated some of his revelations, including some passages in the Book of Mormon and the Doctrine and Covenants, as his learning increased. Like all of us, Joseph's spiritual knowledge grew line upon line. As more pieces of the puzzle came together, and as the overall picture grew sharper into focus, Joseph could more clearly understand some of his past experiences and revelations and modified them to reflect a more spiritually mature perspective. Joseph also recognized, however, that while revelations could shed light on past revelations, less accurate scriptures still convey the Word of God. In the Doctrine and Covenants, section 128, for example, Joseph quoted Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, exactly as it is quoted in the King James Version of the Bible. In verse 7, the prophet Joseph added, I might have rendered a plainer translation to this, but it is sufficiently plain to suit my purpose as it stands. As noted previously, it's also possible that Joseph may have added, perhaps unconsciously, divinely inspired insights, words or phrases that may have not been on the original plates. The same can be said for Mormon, the Nephite prophet, who compiled and edited the writings of past Nephite prophets. We learn, for example, of similar editorial additions from the translation of other ancient documents. Two common Bible scholar words are Midrash and Targum. Midrash refers to a Jewish method of interpreting scriptures. A Targum generally refers to an Aramaic, the likely language of Jesus and his apostles' translation of Hebrew scripture. Aramaic Targums sometimes include Midrashic comments, explanations, and expansions that were not in the original Hebrew documents themselves. Such comments or expansions likened, in a sense, the scriptures to an audience who were removed in a different era from those who originally wrote the scriptures. See 1 Nephi chapter 19, verse 23. In some of these targums, it's not easy to tell where the original text ends and the Midrashic expressions begin. Instead, these expansions are often seamlessly included into the translation as if they were part of the original text. Someone unfamiliar with the original document may not be able to distinguish which parts of the Targums are Midrashic or original. A number of scholars believe that expansions, interpretive comments, additions, and modifications are common in biblical scripture. It is possible that some of these attributes can also be found in the Book of Mormon. Mormon unquestionably added commentaries when he wrote the words of prior Nephite prophets. While some of his editorial comments are obvious, it's likely that he made editorial comments that are not so obvious. We'll come back to that point again later in this series. Regardless of whether one takes the tight, loose, or somewhat in-between translation approach, there is an important principle that applies to any approach. The very fact that the Book of Mormon was translated into English leads to the inescapable fact that English words were selected either by Joseph or God for a specific audience, be that Joseph, 19th century Americans, etc. This is important in understanding the meaning of some Book of Mormon words or phrases. Critics often claim Joseph served as a fax machine for the Word of God and that every single word in the Book of Mormon should be 100% accurate and precise if it came from God. They prefer this straw man argument so that they can argue that because changes have been made in the Book of Mormon, or because there is some scholarly dispute as to what some specific words actually mean, it could not have come from God. The naivete of the critic's position and a more realistic approach will be in the focus of our next installment. If you like this podcast, you can help promote it by subscribing to it in iTunes or by rating it and writing a review. Post a link on your blog and Facebook page and tell your friends about us. Questions or comments about this episode can be sent to podcast@fairlds.org or join the conversation at fairblog.org. Michael Ash is the author of the book Shaken Faith Syndrome, Strengthening One's Testimony in the Face of Criticism and Doubt, as well as the book of Faith and Reason, 80 Evidences Supporting the Prophet Joseph Smith. Both books are available for purchase online through the Fair Bookstore. Music for this episode was provided courtesy of Lawrence Green. The opinions expressed in this podcast are not necessarily the views of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints or that of Fair Mormon.